Okay, good morning to everyone. This morning, our subject is going to be found in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians. So I'll give you a moment to open your Bibles to that. And I'll read. In my Bible, it's entitled Unity of the Body. Chapter 4 was written by Paul, the apostle, while he was a house prisoner in Rome around 60 AD. Ephesians 6:21 refers to a person by the name of Tychicus?
Yeah, Tychicus is good.
Tychicus. Paul's dear brother and faithful minister in the Lord. It was Tychicus who delivered Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, where Tychicus was a member. Okay, just to put this into perspective, you got to understand where Rome is and where Ephesus is, okay? Just to put this into perspective, if I did my math right, it would have taken over 5 months on foot for Tychicus to deliver Paul's letter from Rome to the church in Ephesus, okay? 5 months of walking to deliver this letter to Paul, or from Paul. And we think we have snail mail here. Imagine 5 months to deliver a letter. So to keep us from being here until late this afternoon, if you have your Bible available, turn to chapter 4, and I'm going to read Ephesians 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another in love, be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore, he says, while he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. In saying this, he ascended. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also he who ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, and for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, by craftiness with deceitful scheming, but speaking in the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ himself, from whom the whole body is joined together and connected by every joint and ligament, as every part effectively does its work and grows, building itself up in love. Thanks.
Thanks, Don. You probably have noticed that this is a little different format than normal. And it's basically because we've got some wonderful opportunities to follow God's word this morning. I just want to open with a word of prayer here before I go back into Ephesians 4. Father, thank you. Thank you for the work that you've done in us. Thank you that we love you, that we love your word, and that we follow your word. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us to prove that we are faithful to you in all things, that we, in fact, believe your word above our own hearts in a way. Help us to be open-minded, to keep our eyes on you in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I'm basically going to do like the first six verses here of Ephesians 4. So y'all know that we've been in Ephesians for several months now. And it's a very, very interesting and powerful book. So I'm going to start here. And the first word in Ephesians 4:1 is therefore. Some of you who attended our Bible studies, the Tuesday night Bible studies a couple of years ago, will remember that we spent an entire Bible study on the word therefore. Very interesting, but it's here. And so I just want to remind you of what Paul has already written to the Ephesians before we get to this therefore, because it's important. Now, I would love to just read what Paul wrote in 1-3, because it is absolutely amazing. As I was preparing for this and rereading 1-3, I don't know, a dozen, 15 times, what God has there is so, so very rich for us. And it reminded me of why we've spent several months going through this. This is really deep. This is really, really important. This is life-changing to our lives. And as we apply it to our lives, what a wonderful thing that we have God's word here that changes us from the inside out. So in synopsis, and these are just the things that jumped out to me as we were going, he starts off with, in him, that's in Christ, we have redemption through Christ's blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intentions, which he purposed in him. We'll get a little bit more into what the mystery of his will is, but it's enough to know that through Christ, we are lavished with gifts. Just all kinds of them, everywhere. We just need to kind of open them up and use them. But he has given his bride everything. I got to say, this last week has been pretty eye-opening to me in a lot of ways. As you know, Julie and I went down to San Diego to spend Christmas with our kids. And as we came back, I had the opportunity to listen to a book, Frank Viola's book, From Eternity to Here. And that is absolutely an amazing book. But the thing that I learned the most from it was not something that I hadn't known before, but something that I had not realized before, something that was not internally in me before. And that is that we, this body of believers here, all of us connected together, are a part of the bride of Christ. You know, it's not us individually, it's us collectively that is the bride of Christ. And I had just never thought about what that meant. That mystery that Paul is writing about is that we are the bride of Christ. You know, Christ came, and he lived a perfect life. And what a wonderful thing that was, impossible for us to do. But he climbed on that cross and said, I will die for the bride, for my bride to come. He shed his blood to cover our sins, to make us perfect in Christ. And as a result, when he rose from the dead, there was something new that was created, something brand new, something never before seen in 6,000 years of history. There was the bride of Christ was born. Us knitted together. For the first time, we had a new creature in Christ. Again, never before happened, only happened at Christ's resurrection. And what an amazing thing that is. What a glorious thing that is that we are, in fact, all new as the bride of Christ. We are joined together as the bride of Christ. It is this body that shares its gifts with each other that has become the bride of Christ. So today, we are in heaven as Christ's bride. I know this is a mind twister. I'm here on this earth. This earth stinks. I get it. But remember, we are just sojourners here. We really, really reside in heaven, in our place as the bride of Christ, as children of God, as the step or as the daughter-in-law to God, our Holy Father. You know, when I started to think about that as we were driving all of those hours from San Diego up to here, it really, really, really penetrated my soul that it is not about me. It never was about me. It's not about me living up to these things, the law, this, everything else. That's not what this is all about. This is about the bride of Christ. This is about being a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 just basically says that we are a new creature in Christ. The old has passed away. And if we believe God's word, and we do, and we will be deep into God's word today, then that changes us. That changes things going forward. We are new. So let me keep going here. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possessions, to the praise of his glory. How powerful is that? That after listening to the message of truth, that Christ gave, that he was risen, that we were sealed in Christ, that we were pledged, and that we were given the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. We are a new creature. We are a new DNA, never before existed. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, and that's why it never before existed. It's all brand new. Paul does two prayers in these first three chapters of Ephesians. He said, and I'm going to read the first one here. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all rulers and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet. He gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That is a marvelous prayer. Remembering that Christ is the head of this body, that he has put all things in subjection to Christ, that it is God the Father has done that. And we, as the bride of Christ, have all things given to us. This is truly amazing. Let me go on a little bit further. I'm up to chapter 2 now, so we're going a lot faster than we did originally. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. I mean, he's just told us who we are in Christ, and he's reminding us that, you know what? You guys were dead in your trespasses and in your sins. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Now, if you've been listening over the last few months, you're going to know that the word workmanship there means poema. We are God's masterpiece. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. That beforehand is before the foundations of the earth. God created these works. The workmanship, the proema. It's important to know that we are God's masterpiece, and masterpieces don't get done when people are doing their first attempt at something. There can be, all of the great masters have done so many different things, but a masterpiece is usually the last thing that the artist does. And that's the case here. We are God's workmanship, his masterpiece. The final thing, the final vision of what is to come. We are the bride of Christ collectively. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enemy, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that he himself might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. What Paul's talking about here basically is we had, before Christ's resurrection, we had Jews and we had Gentiles, and they fought all the time. Couldn't agree on anything. If you were a Jew, if you were part of God's chosen people, you couldn't even associate with Gentiles. It just wasn't going to happen. But through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, that wall was torn down between us. The law that the Jews were living by was abolished. And all the ordinances were gone, so that Christ could make us new, could make us his poema, could make us all brothers and sisters in Christ, that we could become together the bride of Christ. For through him we have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. This part here, and Mike had gone through it before, and so I heard it, I knew it wasn't new to me, but it came new to me again. excuse me. That through him we have access in one Spirit, the Father. We are all united in one Spirit, God the Father. And we are being built upon, that's us, to be the just as Christ is the cornerstone, that whole building that God is going to dwell in is us. We are being built in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. The dwelling place of God. God desires to have a dwelling place. He always has had a desire to have a dwelling place. That's why he created the earth, so he would have a dwelling place. But we are that dwelling place. We are being under tremendous pressure to become living stones, as Peter says, that will become the foundation of the holy temple for God to dwell in. That's amazing. I've just butchered it to death. Hopefully Mike can give us a little bit more on that. But that is an amazing thought, that each one of us together as the bride of Christ are being built stone by stone into a dwelling place for God to inhabit in heaven one day. Up to chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you can read and can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed in the holy apostles and prophets, in the Spirit to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gifts of God's grace, which was given to me in accordance with the working of his power. Again, we're the bride of Christ. That's the new thing. That is the mystery. And there are no, the Gentiles are just brought in. That this newness is something that's amazing. It really is. It never happened before. And that's important to understand, that that's why we preach grace here in this body of believers, is because we are new. Gentile and Jew together in something brand new. And to bring to light that which what is the administration of the mysteries for all ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purposes which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. For this reason, I bow my knees before my Father. This is the second prayer. From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that is God in heaven, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up in all the fullness of God. To him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ Jesus to our generations forever and ever. Amen. Absolutely wonderful. So that's just a synopsis, if you will, of chapters 1, 2, and 3. And so we get into chapter 4 here, and he says, therefore, so because of all this, because you are the bride of Christ, because you are a new creature, because you are God's poema, therefore I, a prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of that calling with which you have been called. We are the body of Christ. We need to walk as the body of Christ. We need to walk with all humility and all gentleness and all patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Recently, this body of believers has been attacked. I was there when just read the riot act to Mike. And I could not believe it. I am reminded that if we don't walk continually in Christ, that the devil can come. He's seeking whom he may devour. And I believe that the devil devoured and that he just came out with both barrels going. I know some of you were here this past Sunday and saw some of that. But that is what we are going to deal with here today as we're going through Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. Because we have We have, God foresaw this. Paul had told many people to watch for what's coming, that in the end times, there will be evil division brought upon you. And we're talking about unity. This part here, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. We're called to do that with this body of believers, with this part of the bride of Christ. And did not do that. There is one body. There is one spirit. Just as also you were called in hope, or in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Paul is telling the Ephesians that above all they are to be unified, because there is only one Christ. There's only one God. There's only one hope. There's only one peace that comes from Christ. And that we are doing. And so as a result of that, much more to come as we continue on here. But keep that in mind, that we are just one here. It is that unity that we desire above all things, unity in Christ. So, Don, as you are reading through this and getting prepared, any additional thoughts on 1-6?
I think you did a great job going back to the first three chapters. I think that was beneficial for me. I learned a lot through that, and I thank you for that.
Perfect. How about you, Mike?
Well, I don't think you butchered anything. I thought you did a masterful job, and I want to see you do more of this. I really do. I like the way your brain works. I like the way you communicate it. And I think for all of us, it was very instructive to go back over the foundation we've been laying, the unity of the Spirit, the fact that we've all been called to be one, and how beautiful and important it is to understand that we're the bride of Christ, the bride of Christ. That's powerful stuff, but good job.
Perfect. Well, I think Mike has got the next part.
The next part is weird. If you're in Ephesians 4, and I'm going from 7 because you went to 6, right?
Yes.
But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train, and he gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. And it was him who gave some to be apostles and prophets. And that's his part. That portion that we just read, we're not even going to look at. That there's a lot going on there. But just remember, the ascended, descended stuff is when he descended. This is not talking about him going down into hell to set captives free. That's not talking about his 3 days dead in the tomb. That's talking about him coming to earth as a man. He descended and he ascended. So he came from heaven to be with us, and he went back to heaven. Just so you understand, when you're reading that, that is not him in the grave. Got that? Because there's a lot to be taught there when he descended those 3 days, as it were, and what he actually did. And he did a lot of stuff there. Not what this is referring to. And we'll go more into this. It makes more sense when we go into it. And it's, what's the cross-reference on that? Psalm 68. When it says he gave gifts to men, you're like, what in the world is he talking about? This is not talking about spiritual gifts. It's talking about when a soldier, a general came back, he took the captives and he paraded them before everybody. Go, look, we won. We beat these guys. And that was really strange that there was an exchange of gifts. They were like, hey, don't kill us, and here's our gifts. And those gifts were then given to the soldiers for their meritorious action on the battlefield. And so there's a description of that in the body of Christ, as we are part of his victory, and we lay down our crowns at his feet, and we give gifts that he gave to us, we give them right back to him. That's what that's all about. And we'll go into that much further. But now I'm going to hand it over to Don. Amen? That was short. I've never seen Mike do it that short. That's just
That was really weird.
We might get out today.
Oh, there's more to come, brother.
Okay, we are very grateful here that we at the church have two preachers, and I'm not one of them. I'm not a preacher. I've had to, quote, preach or give the message of the morning in the past before we hired Mike. While we were searching for a pastor, I filled in, and at one point in time, I remember giving a message, and I said, okay, I'm not going to preach to you today, but I will read to you. So I wrote down what I wanted to say, and you guys say it extemporaneously. I can't do that. I have not been given that gift, and that's what we're going to talk about right now. So if you go back to Ephesians 4, I want to pick up with verse 11. Before we can begin, we need to see the context under which these two verses are written. That takes us back to verse 7. Paul begins with the phrase, he gave. Who is he? And what was he giving? Verse 7 gives us the answer. It says that it was Christ who was the giver, and that he gave gifts to whom? God's grace was given to each one of us. So we were given the gift of God's grace. Verse 8 answers the when question. When he, or Christ, ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. Then he defines who these men are. Now, back to verse 11. Let me read that. He gave some to be apostles. Note the small a, not capital A. There were 12 apostles, right, that Christ named back when he was on earth here. But these are not those apostles. He's talking about apostles today. Then he mentions prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What, these all are kind of confusing because one could be the other. They're all very similar in what they're doing. So why? Verse 12 tells us, for the equipping of the saints. Who are the saints? You and me. So these men were given gifts to benefit us by teaching and other means. Why do we need to be equipped? There's two reasons. One, for the work of service, and two, for the building up of the body of Christ. And who is the body of Christ? We are the church, okay? The church isn't this building. We are the church. So the final question is answered in verse 13, and that is, until when? Verse 13 reads, when we all come into the unity of the faith that we believe and the knowledge of the Son of God, that's Christ, into a complete man, that is a mature believer. What is a complete man? A mature believer. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that was quite a mouthful, and what does it all mean? This is my summary, and again, I'm not a pastor like Dave did a fantastic job. In one sentence, I believe that Paul is stating that before Christ ascended into heaven, he gave all believers gifts, all believers, not just elders, various leaders in the church, to be the message bearers for us to listen to and to grow in our Christian lives and become more mature or complete in Christ. So we all have a job to do here, not just your three elders. We are all given these gifts. Some of us are given to be prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but there's all of these gifts that we are given to everybody. And so as you are talking to your friends, as you are talking with in your family, we are given these gifts to be able to express what God has put on your heart so you can share that with others.
Thank you, Don. That was excellent. Thank you. Appreciate it. And we'll continue on going down the same path. Good job. I can't stand it when these guys say they're not teachers or whatever. You may not be a preacher. You may not have the eloquence that you wish you had. Is this yours? Because I can keep that. That's pretty darn cool. But I'm telling you, well, the Holy Spirit is able to meet you in your time of need, and he's been able to help you to understand the word and able to help you communicate what he's put on your heart. So I appreciate these guys so much, and I appreciate what they just did, don't you? And I'd like to give applause to the Lord and thank him for that. Good job, both Don and Dave. What is very remarkable to me is to watch you guys stand here and deliver something God's put on your heart with your dry mouth and your shakiness and all that. That's how it is. When you're led by the Spirit to do something, you're stepping forward even though there's fear and trepidation, and you understand what we're doing is very holy and very important, and yet you do it with grace and you do it anyway. I have to applaud that. And I say that to say every one of us has the opportunity and the right, the ability to do what they just did. And now these guys are holding the office of elders, which is important. Everybody can do this, and I hope that we see more of that in the future, everybody sharing. Even if it's just a small 10-minute thing, even if it's standing up right where you're at and sharing something the Lord has given you. I think we need more of that. Now, these guys have done some prep, and hopefully you will too as you're reading the word. But when the Spirit overcomes you and you go, I got to say this, you got to say it. And so do it. If it's off base, we'll help to steer and direct. Of course, we're going to make mistakes, but we got to learn, right? We got to practice. My great example of that is my wife, Betsy, because it's so funny I'll never forget a couple weeks ago or it was one of you guys called on her to, yeah, share that, Betsy. And she's like, my wife can speak. She can say a public thing, but that wasn't the Holy Spirit, and he wasn't moving her at that time. She goes, I don't feel the Spirit moving me to do that. Oh, that's brilliant. So she senses when she's walking in the Spirit, or when she's always walking in the Spirit, is when he's moving her to say something. And so don't fake it. But at the same time, you got to move forward when God calls you to stand up and do something. And then you've seen Betsy when she's preaching, she goes off, right? That's because the Spirit's moving in her and she's letting it out. So all of us have that same opportunity. Be aware of that. That's the body of Christ. That's what we're talking about. I love the recap of Ephesians. Phenomenal. We needed that, and we need to understand what's going on here. Now, having said all of that, and that was good, Don. I mean, I took so many notes on what you just taught. I'm like, yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, thank you for that.